Hey guys, welcome to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. I have been fucking dying to have this amazing woman on for so long. I wanted her on as the very first guest of In Your Head podcast, but due to schedule conflicts and just her being as fabulous as she could possibly fucking be, it didn't happen till right now. I will take it. I will own it. I love it. This is someone that has really helped my career, really helped me step out into more of a public light than I ever was before. Someone that just, I mean, I just absolutely adore. Her fucking fan base, which is called The Kittens, is one of the most amazing groups that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting and knowing. Enough with the long-ass introductions. Let me welcome the beautiful, the talented, the funny, the everything to me, Annabelle DeSisto.
Oh my God, that was like the nicest intro words anything that anyone has ever said about me. I don't even care if we even like record past this. If Jay could just isolate this audio so I could play it every day as my affirmations. Thank you so, so much for having me on. I wanted to have heard from you since I've met you. And so being here is a huge honor, and I'm so fucking proud of you. And I'm not just saying this. I love your podcast. Like all your listeners already know who have heard your podcast. Like, it kills me.
My love, I have been dying to have you on for so long. You are one of my bestest friends. You mean so fucking much to me. You have helped me out beyond fucking belief by just being you and doing you. Thank you so much for coming on and taking a chance.
Are you kidding? I feel like a proud pageant mom whenever I listen to your podcast. I have such talent and joke envy, especially of your solo podcasts, that you are able to do them. I'm 2 years into mine, and my solo podcast will take a day and a half, and they still never get out.
That means so fucking much to me coming from you. Again, you have helped me out. You've helped mold me into the person that I am by just being you and being there for me. I want to hear all about you. You are on In Your Head. This is my show. You are a guest. I want to know all about you, what you're up to. I want to talk about how we first met. I want to talk about everything. So what is going on with you, my love? What is going on with the podcast? First of all, first and foremost, congratulations on Dear Media and your
adventure
with them. Couldn't have happened to a better fucking person. Tell me all about you. What's going on?
What is going on is right now, I think I am in the best place I have been mentally and physically and financially and just emotionally wise. And that is 98% to do with you and what you like, where I was in 2018, because we both agree, like 2018, like we hate it. Like it sucked.
Yeah.
It was awful. Uh-huh. What you did to change it for me, and like the listeners who have not had a reading from you are fucking insane. You are such a life changer. And also, Chris is like I tell him, like, he's my emotional, like personal, like AAA. Like, I reach out to you, like, when it's like you're my sponsor. At all inappropriate times of the day, I can reach out to you. But just what you are able to help me do and what you're able to help me like remember about myself and tap into completely changed like the ending of 2018 and started me out in such a great way. And like listening to your 2019 episode, like you're welcoming into the new year, like your positivity episode also really changed like my mind frame and changed like the energy in the house, because I played it like 3 different times on my speaker, so it went to like every room. And it really, your mindset, like, really, I'm trying to copy that. I'm trying to like Carlos Mencia and steal it from you and just kind of
steal away, my love. I know, again, let's go back to 2018 really quick here. Interesting year, out with the old and in with the new, for sure, for both of us.
Yes.
A lot of people fell off, a lot of relationships kind of faded out. They really needed to fade out. It was just no longer serving either one of us.
Yeah.
And again, I was a little bit worried with you during that time because, again, you are somebody that's extremely sensitive.
Yes.
You've got a heart bigger than my friend Heather's feet. And you're just an amazing soul here. And I was a little bit worried that you were going to take too long to get back up.
Because I was down for a while, and like, because everyone goes through, like whenever you go through like a breakup or whatever, like there is that time where you are down, but it's like when you still continue to stay down past, you know, when it's healthy.
Longer than you needed to.
Yes, longer and like punishing yourself and doing like your own like S&M, uh-huh. but not in a fun, sexy way of just like destroying yourself, and you coming up and being like, no, it's time.
Let's get up and let's do this. Yeah. I think again, like you said, I just got done doing your podcast and you talked about, you know, towards the end of 2018, things started to look up. That's truly what happened with me as well too. So I am glad that we were able to kind of finish out 2018 on a brighter note, which leads us into 2019 where love, I'm going to tell you, keep fucking going. Keep honoring this energy. Keep doing you. Because at the end of the day, I'm not just saying this. You are an amazing fucking person. I fucking absolutely loathe when I hear that someone's mistreated you. Someone has been rude to you. Especially the beef that I had with another person that was out there that was slandering both of us here. That drove me insane because that was a beef between me and this person that got my love involved. And I just fucking hate that. But I want
I love when Chris, like emotionally and, like, energy-wise, like, takes off his earrings and is, like, ready to go.
Ready all fucking times, especially for you.
And you saging my vagina really did help.
I think it did. I mean, I felt, I got cobwebs in my hair, but no, I'm just kidding.
He was covered in dust.
Covered in creaks, no. But you, love, keep doing you. I want to get into your love life, but I want to save that for a little bit later. I want to talk more about what Annabelle's doing. What is next for you with the podcast, your career, all that good stuff?
I am really trying to get back into, I want to be doing 2 episodes a week. I want to just go like full force, like Charlie's Angels, full throttle too, like with this year, doing 2 episodes a week and being more, just like owning myself more and reaching out to people that I, you know, before wouldn't have the confidence to or wouldn't think, been like, why would I want to come on like this dumb podcast? And it's like, well, if that's how I feel about my own podcast, why the fuck would I expect anyone else to be like, okay, well, if that's how much she's hyping her own show up, like, yeah, why would I want to come on it?
Right.
And just being more proud of my things and reaching out to people that I have always wanted to have on. I mean, starting off, like, you were just on my last episode, so already working. doing that, and I want to get back to doing live shows, because like live shows like really took me down for a while, where I just didn't want to be like on stage, or I mean even outside my apartment in general. But yeah, that's another goal I have for this year, is to do a live show again.
I remember that time. It was difficult for you. You were not, I mean, it's one thing for me to tell you, you know, oh my God, you're killing it, you looked amazing, you look beautiful. It's another when you're not feeling that. And yeah. I can honestly say right now, again, not blowing smoke up your ass, your aura, your energy is completely different. You are definitely feeling yourself again. And I've always said this. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I've always backed you up and said that you are one of the most funniest people that I know. It just comes naturally to you. We did a birthday party together, Tasha Rain. We went to Saddle Ranch and did her party. You had the bartenders cracking up.
We Aww. Had so much fun. Chris, I called in as like my emotional support. Like, you are such a good fucking like plus one. Like, you're a 10, but you're like a fantastic plus one. Plus uh-huh. two. Jay, you're a fantastic. You're the
the
silent
rash I can't
talent.
Get
yes.
rid of. Yeah. Oh,
no, you are my favorite herpes, because I never want you to go away. And you are always here forever. And it gives me such joy. We had so much fun. And it was just so nice to be out and social again. And I have not felt this way in so long. And truly, like, your podcast and how you phrase things and your advice, that it's the same advice that you say on your podcast that like you said to me, uh-huh. it really does like fucking change everything as soon as you start to believe it and just own it and tap. Like,
you fucking killed it. You had queens obsessing over what you were wearing and hating on your ass, because again, you showed up in the outfit that you did. The fucking hair was rocking, the boobs were out, the shoes were killing it. You looked fucking amazing.
Once again, I need you to isolate this audio so I can play. I'm going to play it with the beginning of like the intro. That was an incredible night, wearing my Chris Medina confidence, channeling your little Kim energy.
You fucking rocked it. You would make a killer fucking host. Why aren't you on television?
I don't know. I'm not blowing the right people.
Tell me who I need to blow, because I mean, I'll do it for you.
I want free Evian water and I want to be on TV. Who do you have to blow, Chris?
I want to see you kill it on television. I want to see you do more comedy. The live show that you did, the one that I went to, you fucking rocked the house. I mean, the applause, the standing ovation that you got from the crowd. I want to see more of that. I want to see you go out there and I want to see you do you, because again, you are naturally funny. You do not have to work at it. I don't know what you think about yourself, but there's
which
a lot
is good, because you know I don't like working at anything.
Well, I mean, you don't have to. It comes naturally to you. So Dear Media, you got your podcast parked in there. The first lady of Dear Media, Lauren, beautiful. But the man of the house?
Oh my God. I feel like you want to sleep with Michael as much as I want to sleep with Lauren. If we can just distract,
God. Yes.
This is not, I was thinking about them in the shower last night, not in like that way, but like I'm trying to schedule a podcast with her. They are so like alarmingly good looking.
I feel like a real life Ken and Barbie.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like a like gross, like straight guy where I'm like, I can't even focus on what she's saying. Both of them are
rubbing your hands together. Yeah. Like and both of them are
like
the
weirdly. And then like, how can I want to like skin her and like make her into like a human lampshade? Like getting to be a part of their network was like the biggest compliment ever, because they are all about their fucking business and shit. And just because like they're my friends, it's not like they would do anything just to be like nice or like, oh, this is my friend, I'm gonna do it, because they're fucking business people and they're not gonna do anything that doesn't make their brands look good, that doesn't make them money. And I don't mean that in like a greedy way or whatever. It was just such a compliment to me that they would like allow my show and name to be associated with them, because that's a huge fucking, like, they are the most driven people I know, because they are branding, like they are branding experts. Like there's nothing that they don't do that isn't like set out to like bring like the most success, the most impact to like their audience and their viewers, and like they're growing every single day. Yeah, I want us to kind of set up a parent trap, but if you were trying to fuck the parents, like you'll take Michael, I'll take Lauren.
I'll definitely
okay, we'll set up like a little
going into them real fast here. I love when she crucifies Michael.
She's so funny. All she is, she's like roasts him.
When she calls him Susan, I want to see what his face looks like when she's talking to him. I'm sure he's so
them
used
at
to
the
it.
Airport. Like her Instagram stories when they're at the airport, and he goes into full Susan mode.
Yeah. Cracks me the fuck up. Seems like it's a good home for you.
They're just such like fucking inspirations.
We've known each other for almost 3 years. Is it almost 3 years now?
Yeah.
And watch you grow so much and overcome so much fucking bullshit to see where you're at right now and to see the look on your face. I am so fucking proud of you, my love. It is only going to get better for you. Again, I love the fact that you're on a network now that treats you well, that you fucking love being a part of. I want to see more.
And the
good
most
things.
Supportive. They are so fucking, they are so supportive. They really are like I said, like Kris Jenner in like the aisle with the camcorder.
Well,
like,
well, you posted something on Instagram where Michael, that hottie, you were in a meeting with him and it was only to check in to see how you were doing.
They Jeez. Only want to set you up to succeed in the best way and check in on you personally. It's not like they just see you as like a product or something that they can make up money off of. They are always checking in of like, how can we help you the most? What can we do? Just tell us. They are fantastic business people like themselves, but they really, really take care of their people.
And that's like, good for you, because again, you need that kind of support. You need that type of energy around you. So fucking yes. A, man, go there, kill it, do you. Which brings me to another topic I want to touch. Again, television work, you getting back into comedy. Are you going to do more writing? Are you going to do more like E-type stuff, Bravo-type stuff? Why aren't you on fucking Bravo? I would love to see you get into that lane there, because, again, you would kill it. You're so fucking relatable and so down to earth. This is why the kittens love you so much, because, again, not only are you a great kitten mother, but you are so warm and you're so welcoming. Everybody asks me, all the kittens, when I do readings for them, because I spend a good maybe 5 or 6 minutes talking about you, they're like, is she really that warm in person? I was like, we spend hours talking to each other. You are one of the most genuinest fucking people I've ever met here. So what you get is what you see here. It is not a fucking joke. It's not a facade. It's not an act. So again, I want to see you kill it. I want to see more television work. I definitely want to see you be on something, again, that's more Annabelle type stuff, E, Bravo, but that showcases who you are, because at the end of the day, you are funnier than some of the other people that are out there right now. I mean, I want to see more of you.
I love you. Like, that is like the nicest. If only the voice in my head could just be yours. Like,
I'm gonna kick that fucking voice out and throw my voice in there. But what do you want to manifest into 2019?
Getting my confidence up to do live shows again and traveling and getting in front of as many people as possible. So it's like, I want it to, I don't know if it's like on having like a show on like Sirius or on TV. Like, I feel like my hair is really being wasted on audio because people can't see it. So
it's all real too.
And it's all real.
It is all real.
It's one of the few real things about my appearance.
I would love to see you do more live shows. I want to be the opening act for you. I'd love to get a couple of other people together too and just go out there and do, I mean, have you definitely headline and bring a couple other podcasters on and do the same thing. Because again, you fucking kill it. And here's another thing that I love about you too. My audience in my readings have not only reached everybody in the US, but have reached out to Australia, India, the UK, all these different places I could not even imagine because of your audience and them knowing me from your show. It fucking kills me. Every time I Skype with somebody across the fucking world, I'm like, I cannot believe this is fucking happening. Like, oh seriously, God. Like, you reach, I'm getting goosebumps, you reach a lot of different people. I'd like to see you take this fucking all over the fucking world because you've got so much love out there. Seriously, consider that. I want to be I want to be your hype man. I want to be your little Kim. I want to go out there and kind of do like, my thing.
You do bring Little Kim energy. Like, you have Big Dick energy, but you also have LKE. You have Little Kim energy. What's for you in 2019? When are you reading Little Kim?
For me, 2019, I want more opportunities with the podcast. I want to put myself out there more onto television, more mainstream type stuff. Definitely get involved with Little Kim and all that stuff. But
do you see, are you going to be dating in this time? Are you talking any gentleman callers now?
I'm talking to a couple people online who will remain nameless, but nothing serious. I'm not in that type of energy yet. I still got to drop off a few more pounds and get more confidence going in.
You've dropped off like an Olsen twin and a half. You seriously, I told you, I'm like, you're no longer a psychic medium. You're a psychic small.
A psychic small. I'm trying. But yeah, I'm hoping, I'm ready for a relationship. So hopefully we can be vacationing with
I was going to say, I'm like, I want to be like double dating. Like, because it's just, I've never seen you in a relationship. And you, this is like, you're seeing like the budding like parts of my relationship because of you. I just, that would be so much fun.
To shit talk them behind their backs. And just
I want
to
see
us,
you have a Susan.
Love to have a Susan. I would love to have one. But yeah, that's what I want to bring into existence for 2019. So let's jump onto something else here. What got you involved with crystals? How did that come about?
And I was dying at your story of crystals on the last episode with Jay and the Tiger's Eye. Like that killed.
Has that ever happened to you though?
And then I was trying to think and I'm like, that like really got me thinking of like, oh, I wonder if any of my crystals have been, now I'm going to be like so much more aware. And I'm like, any crystal I had in the 9 months of 2018, I need to get rid of.
You get rid of all the
I get rid of the human crystal.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No, that's never happened, but I thought that was so interesting, especially when you said the girl.
My friend Nikki.
Yeah, with the roses. Like, well, that like blew my mind. What got me started is I'd always been into psychics and New Age stuff, but it's like I didn't really know about crystals, and the first person I ever saw with crystals was Spencer Pratt on the Hills, and everyone was like, he's a fucking lunatic, because he seemed insane. And so I was like never into them. And then I went to a like farmer's market with Nancy because she wanted to get an amethyst because she's an Aquarius. And so we went to like a little crystal stand, and Nancy was like picking out her crystal, and I saw like a rose quartz like pyramid. And Nancy said, and she's like, well, you don't have any pyramid shaped objects in your house. Like, you should get this. And I'm like, what? That was just a weird, like, no, I don't have any, like, butt plugs, like, in my house. Like, it's, like, I don't know, how, like, how do people have, like, a lot of pyramid-shaped things in their house? And I was like, okay. And I'm like, and it's rose quartz for love. And I was like, all right, sure. Like, this won't bring any bad energy in. All right. And then the following week, I got into my first doing Dr. Evil fingers, like, quote-unquote, relationship. A bad, but a relationship since I'd been in L.A. And I was like, okay. Like, I just got this rose quartz, and then I started dating this person. And then I went back and I got another crystal, and it was aventrine, which is supposed to bring like career, like luck and prosperity. And then later on that week, I got my fashion police job. And so it was just like, it just happened to be like those two instances. And then I was like, you know, I'm manic and can't do anything. I have a very addictive personality. So after getting two crystals, I would say within a month, I had probably over 200. Literally a crystal meth addiction would have been cheaper.
But you felt the energy working though.
Yeah. And I really, because I really, really believed it and loved it and just got just kind of like manically then started buying them. But yeah, I really did feel like it made a change, and it made me feel like I don't have any crosses or any stuff like that, or like a Bible or anything. So I didn't really ever have like a kind of like religious like thing in my house or something to hold that made me like feel like spiritual or any sort of way, before I got crystals. And then like getting to hold those, and I got really deep into pendulums. Do you ever work with pendulum?
No, that again, I don't want to scare you with it. That's also like a Ouija board to me.
Oh, no, please. No, I want to know more. Will you tell, like.
Yeah, when you start messing with that, like people say, like, it's an introduction, like, to a Ouija board type energy. I hope I don't get shit for this, but yeah, when you mess with the pendulum, it's like a Ouija board, but it's not a board. So it's like calling out and asking stuff to come in. One would say, well, what about your guides coming in and talking to you that way? To me, again, because I've always been this way, it's a little different, but I don't like to mess with things like that.
Really?
Yeah. Did you get into it? How far into it were you?
I got so deep into it. Well, like, also, it... For an introvert, this was also my dream because I'm like, should I go outside or should I go to this thing? And if it like went one way and I'm like, oh, the pendulum said no, I'd probably get into a car accident. I'm staying home. So like literally I started using the pendulum for everything.
Uh-huh. Which, do you still use it to this day?
No, I haven't used one in a really, really long time. Like, yeah, in months.
So what the...
Sometimes like when I go to House of Intuition, sometimes I'll play with like their pendulums. Uh-huh. But yeah, like I have not done my... I got very addicted to... I named her Penji. It's a very... creative name.
I grew up on Ouija boards. So I mentioned this on one of my episodes where my sister's friend had came over and she was like a couple years younger than I was and brought this fucking Ouija board in. And I was completely fascinated with it. I was like, oh my God, like you can talk to dead people on it. And like, how does this work? And I was intrigued by it. You're not supposed to play it alone, but I ended up playing it alone because I got so addicted to it. Brought in all kinds of bad juju.
One thing I sometimes I'll tell you, because like I do weird stuff at night on the internet, like not like, you know, black market, like internet, or what is it, like not black web stuff or like the dark web stuff. I mean, like weird stuff is when I have a lot of stuff to do, I'll obviously spend my time very responsibly by reading the Amazon reviews of Ouija boards. Uh-huh. And even just reading the Amazon reviews of Ouija boards like freaks you out.
Hell yeah, it's fucking scary. Though anybody that says, oh, it's just a toy or whatever, you're full of shit. Every time I asked that Ouija board to give me a sign if it was there, weird shit would happen. The phone would ding. You'd hear cracks in the fucking house. One time, I shit you not, it kicked the living shit out of the trash cans on the side of the house and scared the dogs. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know if that's because of me and what I brought to the table as a psychic medium, but yeah.
Because yours is probably way more intense. But yeah, like Sylvia Brown, she was the first person I ever heard about, like, Ouija. I mean, I knew what a Ouija board was, but I had never played with one or even had one in the house. And like Nancy, you know, we had like animal psychics and she would go to guided meditations or whatever, past life regressions, but never like a Ouija board, because Sylvia Brown said there had never been an experience with a Ouija board she had that turned out well and positive. And I figure, I'm like, okay, if Sylvia Brown can't even handle a Ouija board, like me as like a peasant has no, you know.
Yeah, there's people that can actually, I don't know what they're called, that master the art of using a Ouija board, but I leave well enough alone. I am my own Ouija board. I don't need that shit to fucking do it for me. But you've never played with one?
I've never played with one. Stassi Schroeder from Vanderpump Rules, she is obsessed with Ouija boards, and she like loves ghosts and murder and stuff like that. And she said like she would talk about it on her podcast, how she would make her own Ouija board.
Yeah.
Like with like, you know, just cardboard. Drawing on paper, uh-huh. Yeah. Cardboard or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one time I was over at her house and she was like, yeah, I'm going to make a Ouija board because my friend's coming over. And I was like, okay, I have to go. And I left immediately because I didn't want to be.
That's how involved I got with it. My mom would throw it out and I was like, I'll just make my own. So remember, I'm way older than you are. They had the big 24 packs of Budweiser. My grandma would drink Budweiser like crazy. And I would say, I want the cardboard to make my own.
So are you sure it just wasn't your grandmother drunk outside who was like running into the trash can?
Yeah, I'm taking shit in, yeah. No, but yeah, that's how fucking deep I got into it, was I would make my own. What is the craziest thing or that you've witnessed spiritually, any type of hauntings on you or weird shit that you felt alone or just, I mean, in general?
No, which is so weird because I am so open to, or like, you know how much I believe in ghosts and aliens and gone to like haunted things. And I've never once had an experience of any sort, which I guess is like good, but it's like, I also never thought of like ghosts or energies as like a negative thing that they, cause I just always like thought that was like in horror movies or whatever. And then I realized I'm like, oh, it's very real. Just like on your experiences and your, you know, but no, I've never had like a visitation. And I like ask for them, and even going to, I thought for sure on the Queen Mary it would happen, and it didn't. There wasn't any weird.
Maybe you're just protected that
feeling
way.
Or energy. I'm trying to think, like with aliens, I would love to have an alien thing.
You don't think it would freak you out though?
On one, the thing is, I'm like, I'm wondering if like I did have it, if that would like destroy it for me forever, and I'd be freaked out. Like, the thing is, I do get scared very easily. Literally, I can be scared in the same room with someone just if I forget they're there, if they make, like, if they come in, like, I have the startle reflex of like a Vietnam vet who was like, who hears like a helicopter. Like, I have the biggest startle reflex where you would think something really traumatic had happened to me, where it would get so bad that my parents would have to be like, I'm coming around the corner. I'm coming around, Chike, I'm coming into your room. I'm coming around the corner. Okay. Do you, and I'm like, okay. And then still when they walk by, I'm like, okay. Like,
you would be in a straitjacket.
I was in a hotel room with the gentleman caller. We're the only ones in there. And I'm just like, like, it's weird. So that's with a living person.
I would have put you in a straitjacket if we grew up together, because I love scaring people.
Really? Oh, my God. I would
playing practical jokes on people. I would do it to, I would do it to the kids, to my kids. They would do it to me. It's just how we grew, it's how I grew up. You would definitely be like in a straitjacket somewhere in the corner crying and shaking.
I'm trying to think, like, if I have ever had an experience, like, I mean, I definitely feel like I have, like, guides, guardians, and angels who I absolutely know in certain situations. When I look, I'm like, oh, wow, like, they absolutely, like, protected me where it could have, like, where I for sure know that I was, like, divinely guided or protected, where I feel like my spirit guides, like, I don't know if you, I mean, you probably wouldn't tell me because you're too kind, but, like, I feel like my spirit guides are so exhausted. Like, I feel like that they're just, like, smoking cigarettes of, like, what did I do to deserve this one? Again?
Like the lady off of Beetlejuice.
They're so fucking, like, tired of, like, Jesus Christ. Like,
I think that you have amazing guides. Granted, I can't see them. People ask that all the time. Can you see my spirit guides? No, I can't.
It's like,
can
you see them smoking and rolling their eyes at me?
Pacing back and forth behind you. No, but they do the work for you. If you stop and think about it, because you, I'm not calling you fearful or calling you, I mean, you say it yourself that you're anxiety ridden to a point, but because you have a hard time being direct, I mean, you're not as vocal as I am, that your guides intervene and do that shit for you. Like, they bring the bad shit to light in order and get rid of it for you, so you don't have to do the dirty work. You have to maintain that part, but for the most part, they're very good to you. They really weed out people that, I mean, and just energies that don't fuck with you or that shouldn't be around you, they get rid of them for you, so you don't have to do it on your own. Look, I mean, 2018 is a prime example of that shit.
Oh, yeah. 2018. And, like, also, when you came over and you did your reversal, like, your reversal energy, which I couldn't believe, because it's still, like, and I so believe in energy and all of that stuff and, like, universe and moons, and but I don't know why I still didn't think, like, I thought, like, once you remove yourself from a situation or a place or people and you haven't been there in months or been with them in months, like, I didn't think, like, that could still, like,
infiltrate,
like, that their energy or that place of work center, whatever it is, like, could still be actively.
But here's the thing with you. I think a lot of people gravitate towards you because of your energy. I mean, I love you because of how you come across and the way that you are as a person. I see your soul, your essence, your presence, and I see that it's a very bright light and it's very genuine here. So a lot of people that have a hard time being themselves, or, you know, I don't want to say being nice, but I mean, to a point where it pretty much is that, they want to latch onto you. There's something about you that they want to be, or that they wish that they were. So they linger around too much around you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you start picking up their bad energy and shit starts happening to you. That's when your guides come in and say, okay, it's time to cut this shit out. But I cannot, for the life of me, going to something else really fast here, with Fancy Nancy, with Nancy being your mother and who she is, and I've met her and know her energy, that nothing crazy has happened to either one of you. Like, a spiritual type of energy, especially around her, because she has a different vibe to her. She's got a very much of a high frequency, and her aura is just, I always see around her yellow, a yellowish white type of aura around her. So I find it hard to believe that, again, that nothing has happened with her around, because she has that energy around her. I see it.
One of the funniest things, when I first met you, because I knew nothing about you. Like, when we first met, I didn't know that I was going to have a reading. I thought you were just coming on my podcast, but I never met you. I met Jay, like, over the internet, over the interwebs.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I don't think this person's going to kill me. Fingers crossed, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know I was going to have a reading with you. I'd never met you, knew nothing about you. So, like, when, like, you just came in and you're like, okay, like, Jay, you can, like, wait outside. I'm going to do the reading. And I was just like, oh, I don't have, like, I didn't go to the age, I don't have cash or anything. And you're like, no, what? And you just kind of, you're like, no, what are you talking? No, I'm repaying you for being on your podcast. No. And you're like, don't say anything. And I was so, like, because it happened so fast, I didn't know, like, what was happening. And it was one of the funny things when you're like, is your mom still with us? And how you? And I was like, I mean, I hope so. I just talked to her like 15 minutes ago. And you're like, no, I mean it in a way of, it's so rare for me to have that strong of a presence of someone around you when somebody's not crossed over, because your parents are right with you. And I'm like, yep. And I'm like, wow, this guy is spot on.
Yeah, your mom has, I mean, she's got a very, I don't know if she carries herself in a spiritual way, like in her everyday life, but she's got that energy around her. There's just something unique about her presence, like, that I feel like you inherited obviously as well, but you're more, again, this is going to sound so weird and so hokey, but you're more human. Does that make sense? You're definitely her child, but you're more here. She seems to be a little bit more, her vibration seems to be a little bit more out there.
Yes, that is. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I adore her.
I guess the closest thing I've had to an experience with a spirit or energy was I texted you because I was so freaked out, was like, I was on the bed and it felt like I never felt like that weight on me like before, where it felt like somebody had like literally just kind of like jumped on my back, like not in a aggressive way, just kind of like if you had a brother or friend and you like jumped on their back and like in bed or whatever. And it felt like somebody like whispering into my ear with like a male, like Southern accent. I don't know anyone who's male and Southern that I would still want to talk to, you know, from high school. Uh-huh. Like, and it said like, we're all so proud of you. Like, we're all so proud of you and heaven's waiting for you. And I texted you right away and I was like, I don't know what's happening because I don't know who that voice is and I don't know if it really happened. But I never, like, that's the closest experience like I've like ever felt. But I also used to have like, what is like sleep paralysis? I mean, I know what it is, but like, what do you think that is like on your side? That wasn't sleep paralysis, but like, because I was like awake when it.
But this, real fast, I'll get to sleep paralysis, but this happened right after you were going through all that bullshit though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I think I had mentioned this is probably like one of your, if it didn't feel, you would know if it felt shady or ominous or you know, they're to hurt you. But the fact that it whispered something nice and it felt comforting.
And it felt like literally, like, you know, when you can like feel somebody's like breath in your, like, I can't believe like I forgot about that till like just like now because I texted you about it. Like, yeah, I never had that type of experience. So I guess that's like the closest.
That's a fucking amazing experience. So, and again, that you didn't get freaked out over it.
Because like I texted you and I was like, oh, I couldn't like believe it. Uh-huh. And then I am glad I texted you because I'm like the next day, like, because I do, what is it called? Like, not like sleep, but like how you'll have that experience where kind of like your like energy leaves your body when
like
you're
like astral projection, yes. Type. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But my astral projection is literally like, it's just me walking around my own apartment. I'm not going anywhere cool where like I'll think I've done something and I'll realize it was just like astral projection, but it's like just me in my own apartment. That's how lazy my astral projection is. My astral projection is a hermit.
But if you... But if you allowed yourself to let go a little bit, again, because I feel like you are so self-controlled at times, you want to hold on to everything. So if you just let go a little bit more.
I'm very tightly, like, wound.
Tightly wrapped, yeah. Going to the sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis usually, I mean, I have a scary story to share with you. A good friend of mine had a ghost in her apartment, and she said that it woke her up because the dog was growling and barking. And it was barking into thin air. And when she looked, she was like, what's in here? And she said she saw something that was very tall, just like that alien I saw, but it wasn't an alien, that was as tall as a ceiling, but it looked like it had horns. And it was standing against the wall in the shadow looking at her. And it made its way towards her. And she said that, this is what sleep paralysis, she said that she wasn't, one would think you'd be asleep, but she said she was wide awake, but she could not fucking move. She was like, she felt it and it touched her. When I say touched her, have you ever seen the movie The Entity with Barbara Hershey?
No, I can't watch horror movies.
It touched her. Like, it groped her, and then it left. God. Yeah, but she said the dog scared. She said she could not move, and she couldn't get up. Yeah. That's sleep paralysis. Every time I think of sleep paralysis, I think of that one.
It used to happen to me all the time until I, like, moved, where I just couldn't wake up. Like, I was, like, awake, like, but I couldn't open my eyes, and it felt like there was, like, a 100-pound weight on me that I like couldn't open my eyes and I couldn't move, but like nothing was ever like attacking me in my like dream. But yeah, because there's so many different experiences or like takes on sleep paralysis like that I see on the internet, but I had never actually like talked to you about it. Do you get sleep paralysis?
No, she doesn't say that. Knock on wood, where's the dick? Because I that would probably scare the shit out of me. I am one of those people that can wake myself up out of a dream.
Oh, really?
And be like, nope, and wake up. So I hope.
Do you have like a lot of nightmares?
No, more visitors than I do nightmares. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like I don't have anything really scary come into my dreams. It's more visitors and or energy that comes into play, which can be a nightmare for other people. But yeah, I wake myself up.
I can't imagine because like I have... definitely like my human interaction like limit, like after spending like a lot of time, like ideally I want to see like maybe 3 people a week, you know, from like that's like my human interaction level. Even on your off time, you have not just one person around you. You have multiple people that you're not choosing.
Exactly. That's why I like going out with you. Like whenever we go
to like every day is like a party for you, but like a party where people won't
where leave. It's not actually live people. It's energy here. That's what it's like. I love going out with you and hanging out because we can only do it for a certain amount of time. And I'm like, are you ready to go? You're like, yes.
And we get because we went to an event and we went to our friend Jacqueline's play and we're there and it's like, it's over at like, what, 8:30 or so. And so like, we're out and it was Saturday night. And so like Jacqueline and our friend Haley, they're like, okay, well, like, let's go to, all right, because it was like their last night of the plan. They're like, all right, like, well, let's go celebrate. Like, what's the first bar we should go to? All right, the bar's like down the street. It's only like a 5 minute, you know. And so they're making plans, and me and you and Jay are all looking at each other because it's like Saturday night, it's 8:30. We're all single.
Yeah, and Jay was like, I don't want to stay out too late. I said, no, we got Annabelle. Perfect. She's going to want to leave when we want to leave.
And yeah, and so they're all making plans, and it's just, we all look at him, it was like a silent, like, nod. We're like, okay, well, we're going to go. And it's just, yeah, you know that my, 9 o'clock, I want to be home in my soft clothes.
I mean, again,
by like, nine,
I definitely
no matter what
I
it
mean
is
by having just a certain amount of time with people, because it is energy draining. It's just
so
too much.
And you're always around people when you go places, you're just sitting there, like even in like the grocery store. Do you see like all, like, it's just so much energy because you can see everybody's like energy, and do you see people like,
yeah, I pick up even when we're driving in traffic. He's like, why are you letting it get to you? And I'm like, because I can pick up on the intention of the other person. Like, it's not like people think I'm aggravated or I'm like an angry driver. It's not that. It's I could pick up on the intention. So, yeah, it fucks with me.
So people like your listeners and like kittens, think about how frustrated and just kind of annoyed you get in like regular life of dealing with other, just dealing with people in general, like in traffic or like, you know, the person who's taking forever at like self-checkout. Imagine that, but like times a billion. I can't, it's amazing that you even go outside.
It's too much. Yeah.
And the fact that you're not like screaming more, like out in public, I'd be like, shut up. I'm just trying to hear the special.
I just came in to get lettuce. That's it. Get the fuck out. Yeah.
I don't want to convey the message.
So with you and your spirituality, you said you're not a religious person, but what do you believe in? Do you believe in, I mean, a God, devil?
I guess like I'm not really, I'm so sorry. I know that's so annoying. That's my phone because I hate it when I hear people's phones on podcasts.
Don't
I just have
it.
To have, and having a new bed delivered because I've never had sex on this bed ever. So, I've only had it for like 10 years. So why would I have been able to? But I really feel like this one's going to happen. So I'm having a new bed delivered. That's why I have to have my phone on. I'm not like my RJ was raised Catholic, like went to Catholic school his entire life. And my mom was raised like Christian or I don't know. She was raised WASP. And they went to church or whatever. And so my dad was very much like, no, she's going to be raised Catholic. My mom's like, no, she's not. No, she's going to be raised normal, quote unquote. So I don't mean to offend any of that. Yeah. That's coming from my mom. And so she's like, I'm not taking her to a Catholic church. If you want to, she was like, you want to be raised like in a church? Great. You can take her every week. Uh-huh. So she said that my mom said that he took me once as a baby. And he was like, okay, you know what? I don't think we'll just leave it up to her. So like, I have never thought of like a hell before, because like Sylvia Brown always used to say like that there's that like hell is on earth, and I don't like, because I don't think that there's any place can be like more negative or evil than like some people here are to other humans and animals and stuff. Like, so I never like thought of a hell, but I've always thought of like that there's like an afterlife and heaven. And so like I don't say it like I don't like pray to like quote unquote like I say like my guides, guardians, and angels, and like Mother Asna instead of like what would be God. But I always speak to like my spirit guides and like angels before I go into a situation, or like that's what I believe in. But I absolutely believe in that you have angels and that your loved ones, like I believe in reincarnation and that there is a heaven and that you're reunited with all of your loved ones, and heard in books and like from you, because I'm like, oh, please let this be true, that like in heaven or when people have passed over, that like they're the best.
Every time my grandmother comes to visit me, she comes at the best version of herself at the time that she felt best.
Yes. See, that's why I'm like ghost me better be it better be like thin happy me. I don't want to go out on
a lot of times too when they come in, people that have like committed suicide, or a lot of times people have this misconception that they go straight to hell, or that there's, you know, there's this that goes on. A lot of times it's just more resentment. Like, I thought things were going to be better after I did this, but I just found out that it was actually more painful for other people than it was for me.
Do you believe that when they said that when somebody commits suicide, that they just automatically go into like the next form? Like,
sometimes they do. That person that passed away that was close to me that I mentioned before when we first started talking.
Yeah.
That ended up missing.
Yeah, you're in not Peru, but
Mexico. I felt like he came back to say bye and then came back again.
Really?
Yeah, into another life. Like when people reach out for readings, I touch on their soul, their essence, their presence. I'm like, here's what's holding you back. Here's the lesson in this lifetime here. This is why you're having this much conflict or this much issue with your present self here, because the soul wants to get past this. Like the soul knows what it wants to do. It's your material way of thinking that fucks you up. The soul's like, no, get over this shit. It's time to move forward. So if you commit suicide, you are going to come back to learn the lesson again. So you can't run away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But so with you and your spirituality and what you feel like your soul purpose is, like, let's go to the reading that I gave you at the very beginning, and then we'll move forward here. Did you pick up anything off of me? Because I feel like you're a great judge of character. I feel like you don't say a lot about what you're thinking here, but it doesn't mean that you don't call people out on their bullshit in your own head. When you met me, did you think anything different about me, or did you pick up any kind of energy?
No, it was like whiplash because it happened so fast, and it's like you're such a it's so weird because I know this sounds so dumb, but you're one of the strongest energies, but you're such a gentle energy. Like I don't know if like that makes sense, because you are like such a kind, like gentle person, but you're so powerful with your energy and it's so strong, and it like kind of like fills up the entire room where it like you're like the only person there. It's kind of like talking to you is kind of being like in an energy tube where it's like I kind of felt like everything like blurred out behind you.
Did you feel that though?
Yeah, but in like the safest, I like mean in like the best
way,
because like I just connected with you so much, and like I felt like talking to you that I had known you forever.
We sat Indian style on your couch.
Yes.
We were facing each other. We totally forgot Jay was outside.
And for an hour, he was just standing outside in my, just like a poor little orphan, just like.
You, again, I want to hear what you have to think about me, but your energy that day was, I was like, again, not definitely gay here, but I fell in love with you. I was like, she's the sweetest fucking woman I've ever met. Like, I truly mean that. Like, you're just, I mean, you were completely different. You seemed like you were all for, I can tell that you were nervous, but it didn't steer me away from looking at your soul, your essence, your presence, and just being like, oh my God, she's a great girl underneath that. I just wish that she would let this shit go.
Yeah.
That's it. But yeah, were you nervous? Were you scared? Did you?
So I was just so taken back, like, and excited that I was getting a reading. And you read, like, if for any people who have like not had a reading with him, you fucking get your money's worth times a billion, because your like messages come so quickly. And also you're the first person I've gotten, and I've had tons of psychic readings and crystal healings and whatever type of thing you can imagine. Like I've done it. I've paid for it, whatever it is. You're the first person I've ever had who you sat me down and you're like, don't say anything. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to read you and tell you what I get. And then at the end, you can ask me any question you want, but I'm going to talk, which no psychics or mediums had ever done before. Cause they were like, okay, what message do you, you know,
what do you want?
They
know?
Ask like, it's like a back and forth, like, you know, improv scene where they're, and you were the first person who, so to any skeptics who are like, well, you know, like I kind of like led with this question of, like, what do you see? How do you see my boyfriend? He's kind of an acting shit, you know, kind of leading with the question. Then you can have the person like fill in or whatever. You're only like healer or whatever that you like did it all yourself. You said all the messages, you gave me the reading. And then I asked you questions after. So there was absolutely no way like you, like, I don't know how to explain it, but like.
That's why, again, when people ask, what should I look for in a psychic reading? Go in there and you let them do the work. You're paying them money to give you a reading. Don't say anything. Give them your name if you absolutely have to, but that is it.
No, it was like a rapid fire where it's like, it was kind of cool. Like I felt like a casting director where like this person's like having perform and do this like whole like monologue and do this. And I just like sat there like just like watching and not having to do anything with you reading and doing all these messages. And it like, you're never searching for something to say. Like you can see like you're kind of talking to someone and like tapping in.
Oh, I hate that. Does like, it look weird though?
No, but it's like, it's so cool to see you work.
Every time I read somebody in person, I'm always telling them, I'm going to look off the other way. I'm paying attention to you, but I'm self-conscious about the way that I look when I get reading. So people say like, are you okay? You look like you're glazed over a little bit.
No, it's so cool to see you go into, it's, I'm not saying, you don't like, your eyes aren't like rolling into the back of your head and you're not like shaking or anything. Uh-huh. It's just so cool to see you completely like channel and go into your like art and the language that you speak. It's just like so cool to watch. Like what I imagine, like when they see in like romantic movies or whatever, when you're like, we felt like the only two people in the room, even though technically
and
we were
circling like, around each other. Yeah.
Like
speaking about love, what is going on with this is this Mr. Lincoln that I'm hearing?
Yes, because I didn't know what to call him. Uh-huh. So, like, it would be so, like, dorky and dumb if I called him, like, how, like, Carrie had, like, Mr. Big. Mm-hmm. And also, I just think Mr. Big is one of the worst characters ever to be on television. And I think he's such, like, a fucking, like, sadist. And I hate that they romanticized him because he's a terrible fucking person.
Emotional manipulator.
Like,
fucker.
Emotionally manipulated. To go through that the entire series and then to have the movie. Not only was the movie terrible, but it's like he left you at the altar before, like, the wedding even started. And yet you still got back with him.
Codependency is a motherfucker.
And then when she's like, he couldn't think of words himself, so he wrote the love words of others. I'm like, he fucking copy and pasted love poems and put it in an email, and you still ended up marrying this fucker. And in the second movie, you feel bad because you kissed Aiden, who you should have ended up with. It was a kiss, and he has the fucking balls to be mad at you.
Ugh. God.
It, like, I know, he's just terrible. So I was, like, not naming him Mr. Big, and also that would be so cheesy if I did. And so I was, like, trying to think of, like, a name to call him, and then I was, like, I don't know what to call him. And then I thought he drove a Lincoln, so that's why I came up with Lincoln, and then I realized he drove a Lexus the next time I was out with him. I'm like, oh, I can't call him, like, Mr. Lexus, because it sounds like a, like, cartoon villain.
Yeah.
But I'm just, like, I've never cared about somebody this much.
I see a little bit of glow in you right now as you're speaking about this, Mr. Lincoln.
And so it was 4 months on Sunday, which I know doesn't sound like a very long time. I've never had somebody, like, show me that they care about me so much and tell me they care about me so much.
Uh-huh.
You and my dad were the only men to ever bring me flowers.
Aww.
And to, like, every, like, and so.
I know a little bit of the personal stuff because you and I are friends. I love the fact that he is very patient with you. And that he makes you feel warm and secure, and he goes at Annabelle pace. Because
yes.
I feel like that's very, very fucking important to you. And a lot of people, again, not commenting and not saying that you look like a certain type of girl here, but a lot of people would mistake you as being one of those types of girls, and you're not like that. Like, when it comes to who you are, you really value yourself, and it's important that the person that you're with values the same shit that you do when it comes to how you think and how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
he is the most patient, and being around him makes me realize, like, how negative I can be. He's a comedy writer, and he never punches down. He is just so genuine and kind. I make fun of him all day. Like, all I do is roast him. I'm so mean to him. Like, and I say, I'm like, I make fun of you all the time.
Uh-huh.
And you never say anything back to me. And he has a fantastic sense of humor, like one of the funniest people I've ever met. He's like, I would never say anything back to you in that way. And he was like, my job is to make you feel the most confident and most loved and supported. And he's like, and no matter what I would say, like, physically, he was like, would obviously be a joke because you have no idea how you look. And he's like, but the fact that you already, unfortunately, from, like, your past experience, have such crippling low self-esteem about yourself from assholes you've interacted with, he was like, that you would take it as, like, real because you already believe that about yourself. And he's like, no, my job is to make you feel the best possible.
Does he have a brother?
He has a sister.
Oh, no.
It's swinging the other way.
If you
go
to
a Mike Pence camp.
Maybe in another life, but no.
But he really is, like, and I credit you with, like, bringing him into my life.
How does that make you feel, love? Considering everything that you've been through in 2018 to lead you to this point now, how does that make Annabelle feel?
This is the happiest I've been in years, like, in every possible way. And he's one of the best things that's, like, ever, like, happened to me. And it was the perfect thing of what I needed, especially then, because it's, like, somebody who was not connected to any other part of my world.
Right. Completely, like, separate.
Completely separate. Didn't know any of my friends. Didn't know, like, wasn't, because, like, our entire kind of friend group is enmeshed, and, like, we all, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just so nice to have somebody completely, like, he's in comedy, but doesn't know any of my friends, doesn't know podcasts, doesn't know any of that shit.
You have them all to yourself. You definitely have a different aura about you, and I am so happy for you, and it is about fucking time.
This Sunday we were talking about something. I was like, would you ever have a reading with Chris Medina? Like, and he was like, yeah, sure. And he said it just like that, and I was like, really? Like, he doesn't believe in, like, psychics or crystals or whatever. And he was like, yeah, of course. Like, it would be fun. Like, I can't, I, I can't promise you, like, at the end, I'm going to, like, be a believer in crystals and psychics. He's like, but I will absolutely do it. It'd be fun. And you care about him and he's important to you. And it'd be fun. Yeah. Oh, we'll make yes. a, like, whole day of it.
It's good. Remember, it's going to take everything in me, kittens, not to fucking divulge any information. So please don't fucking ask. I'm going to chew my tongue off from keeping it inside. Love, I am so happy for you. I want to see this blossom into bigger and better with you. Cannot wait to read Mr. L.
Perfect.
Mr. L. And hear what he has to say and then tell you what I think, because you are extremely important to me. You are, like, seriously a sister to me, my baby sister.
Also, I can't wait to see, like, Chris be like a protective, like, because I don't have an older brother. So yeah. You are like, see.
I already am. I mean, you know, I'll go up the bat for you any fucking time. I cannot wait to see you. It's only February. I cannot wait to see what you do with the rest of 2019. I want to see bigger and better for you. You know, I'm constantly supporting you. I'm constantly having your fucking back. Anything you need, I got you. Please tell my audience. This is my audience. Isn't that weird? Where we can find you, how we can get a hold of you, and what you're up to.
Okay, you can go find me on iTunes at Adderall and Compliments. And Chris and I just recorded an episode, which will be out. It's so, so funny. I died. We talked about what we thought was the Fry Festival, which I know you touched on your last episode. Like, you absolutely fucking killed me, as you always do. So you can listen to our episode together and on Adderall and Compliments on iTunes. And you can follow me on Instagram at Annabelle DeSisto.
Love, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so, so fucking proud of you. You have no idea. I am so proud of you.
Thank you so much for coming on. I love you so much. Until next time, you guys, this is Chris Medina with the fabulous Annabelle DeSisto of Adderall and Compliments saying goodbye.